There were those who had freedoms granted to preach the gospel. Others were put to death. They were burned. They were hunted, banished. And of course, the fires of persecution in France in particular, where hundreds and thousands of people were martyred for the cause of the Lord Jesus. But the great thread of preaching is the reality of the ministry of the gospel. The Protestant Reformation was not won by the sword. It was won by the preaching of the book.
Here on Let the Bible Speak, and today it's going to be Romans chapter 5 and the very first verse. That's Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace came at a tremendous price because, as you know, the book of Romans emphasizes the death, the cross work of the Lord Jesus. To justify sinners, that means to declare us righteous, the Lord Jesus needed to lay down his life as a sacrifice upon that cross at Calvary. And we will never comprehend the horror of sin until we see the wages which it demanded of the Son of God. And I hope that today that you'll stay tuned with us right through the program as I speak on the work of reconciliation by which we are brought nigh to God through the power of Jesus' blood. And we're going to have a hymn firstly, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And that ought to be our constant worship. It ought to be our constant item of praise, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. So I hope that you will be blessed today, that you will be encouraged in your own soul as we let the Bible speak.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate
Chapter 5, verse 1 is our text today. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything on the doctrine of justification by faith is Reformation doctrine. That's the doctrine that was the standing or falling of the church. The lack of that doctrine, or opposition to that doctrine, was the apostasy of the medieval Roman Catholic Church in the days of the Reformers. Those who came to know that we are justified or reconciled, made right with God by faith alone, were liberated from the bondage of monasteries, nunneries, religious ceremonies, and all the works religion that is so endemic in various forms of false religion. Now, the birth of Protestantism has many threads to it. And when you read the history of it, you'll find that some of it was political. There were those on various thrones and various countries in Europe that were friendly to the Reformation, supported it, especially in the land of Germany. There were those who had freedoms granted to preach the gospel. Others were put to death. They were burned. They were hunted, banished. And of course, the fires of persecution in France in particular, where hundreds and thousands of people were martyred for the cause of the Lord Jesus. But the great thread of preaching is the reality of the ministry of the gospel. The Protestant Reformation was not won by the sword. It was won by the preaching of the book, the Word of God. You've probably heard of the five solas, and one of them is the Bible alone. There is no other source of authority. Doesn't matter what the church says, doesn't matter what priests and bishops and the popes said, it's what the Bible says becomes the conviction of those who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the genius, the blessedness of this gospel is that it brought peace to the hearts of men. And that's the wonder of the gospel, to be reconciled to God. To be able to say, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, that I have God's favor. Now, peace is something that's very difficult to find in this world. And it's a great tragedy in this 21st century that we have nation upon nation that are unsettled, with millions of refugees fleeing violence and horrible warfares. This is a world that seldom finds peace. And even those countries that do know peace, there are people who waken up in the morning and they have suicidal thoughts. They're troubled, terrorized, and they have no peace with God. The Bible says that the wicked are like the raging sea. And I know a spot in my home country in Northern Ireland. It's on a little town called Port Stewart, where the rocks go right out to the sea, and that ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, batters those rocks constantly, night and day. I have gone there from my boyhood, and I have been back, what, a year ago? And as you stand on those rocks, the surge of those waves, the foam that comes up, the spray that wets and blackens the rock, and it's happening constantly. And the Bible says that the wicked is like the raging sea. They have no peace. And so any message of true hope that brings peace to the troubled heart of men and women is certainly the power and the best blessing of God. Of course, in this world, how can you have peace when you are fearful of death, disease, the decaying of the body, and then the guilt of sin? Let me ask you, do you have a quiet conscience today? Or do you have a conscience that troubles? That the law of God cries out to you, guilty, guilty, guilty. Your heart is filled with shame. If you look at Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, you will see how the Apostle Paul, as a surgeon, opened up man's heart and looked right in. And he said, when the Gentiles, now that's the heathen, the ungodly, which have no law, have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. We are made in God's image. We have within our breasts a moral compass. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. When we do wrong, we are filled with guilt and shame. When we do what's right, we sense God's approval. And even those without the Bible have the law written on their hearts. That's why they are like the raging sea with no peace. They are filled with trouble. But as you come to Romans 5, verse 1, you learn of the peace that we as Christians find through faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, and I'm forming my hands here as if I'm laying hold upon something that we have. We possess peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's four things in this text. The pronouncement of peace with God. Therefore, there's the pronouncement. The possibility we have peace with God. The possession of it. And then there is the profession of peace with God. Can you make that profession today that you are living constantly in the sweet assurance that you have gospel peace with God? I want you to have that. I want you, as a result of attending this Sunday morning service, to discover the joy, the blessedness of gospel peace in your heart, in your soul, so that you will not constantly live as the wicked, as the raging sea, but that you will be brought into the blessed assurance of this wonderful salvation. So let's look at the pronouncement here. Therefore, now it has taken four chapters in this book of Romans for the Apostle Paul to make this pronouncement. After what he wrote and stated in those four chapters, he is now pronouncing the fact of peace with God, this justification by faith alone. Now, in those earlier chapters, the apostle had to go through the teaching of God's wrath upon the wicked. Chapter 1, upon the Gentile. Chapter 2, upon the Jew. Chapter 3, upon all. And chapter 4, you have the examples of Abraham and David who found this peace with God. And so in the New Testament, and so today, there is this therefore, this pronouncement that those who have faith in the Lord Jesus will have this peace with God. Now, without this therefore, we have no gospel. Without this therefore, I can't just lay my hands on somebody and say, oh, enjoy peace. Peace does not come as some clerical pronouncement. Peace comes by this enjoyment of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot make that peace in your own heart. This is where psychology feels. This is where humanism feels. You cannot go through step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6, 7, and say at the end of that, I'm going to have peace. Because this is not man-made peace. This is the blessing of the gospel peace. And it has to be pronounced. Now, the trouble of human hearts is that they are without God. That's where the trouble really lies. And there is a vacuum in your heart. And you were made in God's likeness to enjoy His blessing, His fellowship, His favor. And when sin came in, born in shape and in iniquity and made in the likeness of sinful nature, you are in a vacuum. You have no peace with God. It's like God's a million miles away. But more than that, God is frowning upon you. Because these earlier chapters of Romans talks about the wrath of God that are upon us. Now, men are afraid to die as they are. Death is a terror to the human state. Men are afraid to stand before God's holiness because his wrath hangs over them. That is the therefore of this text. And I want it to be the therefore of your heart. Therefore, because you are living under God's wrath, you have no peace, you have not settled the account. If you died today, you'd be a lost soul without hope, and that terrorizes you. Therefore, this pronouncement is so important. And the real issue is that God is angry with sinners every day. You've read of that sermon of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? It's real. You read Romans 1, 2, and 3, and you'll find it's real. Have you ever been in the presence of an angry man? Somebody who just lost it, fuming with rage. His face is red from ear to ear. The tension in his voice is fearful. And of course, there's no telling how he's going to react. And yet that person normally can be very calm and placid, but anger fills him. Then there's the anger of a king. To come into the presence of a king that is filled with rage, it's like the roar of a lion, Proverbs tells us. Then to be in the face or in the hands of an angry God, that is fearful. And that's why in Psalm 212, the psalmist says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way." Now, what are you doing with God's Son? If you have rejected him, despised him, neglected him, God sent his Son to save you, to bring peace into your life, but you reject him, then God is angry with those who reject him. Now, that's the pronouncement. Therefore, oh, that you could say in your heart today, because I know Christ as my Savior, I have faith in him, therefore, I have this peace with God. Now, we come to the possibility of peace with God, and that is this little statement, justification by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith. This is what makes peace with God possible. If it was left to your works, if it was left to your church, if it was left to your money giving, if it was left to your generosity, you would fail. You can never climb the mountain of salvation. You are lost hopelessly. But here, this is possible. Peace with God is possible because it means to be declared righteous in the courtroom of God's law. You can't understand this language of Romans 5 unless you understand the courtroom, unless you think of judge and guilty defendant, unless you understand the language of law that pronounces guilt and think of your own guiltiness. You've committed heinous crimes against God. The law demands punishment. The law demands justice. But this justification by faith is the judge stepping out of the judge's bench, taking the sinner's place. And when the Lord Jesus came from heaven, he took our place. All the wrath of God fell on him. All the punishment due to our sins and our guilt were laid on Jesus. And we are declared righteous because of Christ's justifying work in our place. And of course, that's the free grace of God. God has provided this. God has permitted this. God pronounces that we have this way of peace with God. And it's because God spared not his own Son that he can spare us. Have you ever read that in Romans 8:32? Let's look at it here. That God spared not, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God spared not his own Son. Every sin, every pain, every agony, every curse was laid on him. And we, therefore, have this peace through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus in our place as our substitute, as our Savior. I read about an old Scottish elder. When he lay dying, he found great comfort in the gospel. One of his friends drew near to the dying Scottish man, and he said, "Well, Jimmy, how long since is it that you made your peace with God?" The aged saint said, "Well, Robin, to tell you the truth, I never made my peace with God." Jimmy said, "But what do you mean? How long since you have found God?" And again he said, "Oh, Robin, I never sought and found him." And then the friend said, "Oh, his mind is gone and he will never recognize us again." But the old saint opened his lips and said, "Listen, not I. I never sought him." And then he quoted the hymn, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood." That underlines the point that it's possible, not because of your works, not because of your goodness or efforts, but because of this: God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, that we might be spared. Is that your faith? Is that your hope?
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that today's message was an arrow right to your heart. If you're not saved and you would like to be a Christian, you would like to be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, these are all ways in which the Bible presents that we become a believer in Jesus, to be saved, to be redeemed. And it is our redemption that is most precious, that we should belong to Jesus, because God has called us into Christ. And it is no mistake that we can be called Christians, Christ ones. Once you put your name among the redeemed of God, immediately you begin to fill up with hope and comfort that you are not forgotten. And then we fear not. Remember the word of the Lord which said, "Fear not, for I am with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." And so never forget that you are redeemed. That's where our focus must be, that we are brought out of sin and indeed bought out of sin into sainthood and perfect standing with God. Think of the many in the Bible who enjoyed fear-free living because they had the Lord's presence with them. Paul and Silas in the prison on the night of their arrest, they sang right to midnight. they were in praise because truly the Lord was with them. The Apostle Paul was in many difficult spots, and he said in 2 Timothy 4:16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge." And then in the very next verse he says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now, here is the Apostle Paul speaking about the frailty and the finicky nature of men. Their support will fail, but in his experience, the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. And we need to seek that grace of God in our time of need. There's another example in Stephen the martyr. While the Jews and those who were persecuting him gathered around throwing stones, we are told in Acts 7 that Stephen's face shone. He looked up and he saw the risen, living Christ standing at the right hand of God. He saw the living Christ, and the Lord was with him in his death. John, the apostle, while on the Isle of Patmos as a very old man, while he was on that lonely place, exiled for his faith, he wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." What a wonderful thing to have that presence of the Lord. And you and I need to pray for that. We need to seek that and live, indeed, aware and conscious that the Lord is constantly with us. He has promised to never leave nor forsake. And so we plead his presence and seek his face. May that comfort your heart today. Grasp and lay hold upon that truth. For the Lord is with his redeemed. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.